Innovation Rockstars. Innovation Rockstars.
Today we welcome Dr. Ina Noitzig, Director of Entrepreneurship at the German domestic appliances manufacturer, Miele. When she joined the company in 2020, Ina's mission was to develop an entrepreneurship program from scratch. The result? The Miele Pioneers Camp that empowers people to transform their ideas into new business. Ina shares with us her experience in setting up such a program in a traditional family business like Miele. She provides insights into dealing with challenges such as resistance to change, identifying the most promising ideas, or selecting the right projects to further pursue. Tune in and make sure to not miss the three recommendations Ina has for building a successful entrepreneurship program. Tuned.
Now on Innovation Rockstars.
Hi, and welcome back to Innovation Rockstars. My name is Chris Müroth, and in this episode, I'm very happy to welcome Dr. Ina Noitzig from Miele. So in her role as Director Entrepreneurship, it's her job to, encourage pioneers at Miele to enter new business areas, to conquer new business areas in order to drive growth for the business. So it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
All right. So as always, we start with a short 60 seconds introduction sprint. So the introduction sprint is all about you, your career and your role at Miele. So I'd say the stage is yours. Let's go.
Okay. Hi, my name is Ina. I'm 40, married, two kids. I live in Detmold. My career, well, I studied business administration economics, holding a PhD in knowledge management, and my professional career started 2007 when I joined a management consultancy focused on innovation organizations and innovation strategy. And after 10 years then, I switched to Unternehmertum, one of the largest entrepreneurship centers in Europe, and I had the pleasure to shape the cooperation between startups and corporates in forms of incubators, accelerators, and corporate ventures. Then in 2020, Miele was looking for someone who installs intrapreneurship from the scratch for this traditional company. And since then, I can unpack my backpack of learnings in strategy, innovation organization, knowledge management, change management, and aligning culture of startup and corporate life. And I have to say, it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun and it sounds like it's the perfect fit for the role. So great. Okay, so next one, we have three sentence starters and three sentence endings. And I'm eager to hear what you say. So let's start with the first one. The first one is the most surprising thing about joining Miele for me was that...
That it really is a family business. Well, although we have over 20,000 employees spread worldwide, all the people actually help each other and feel very committed to this brand.
Yeah, that's great and certainly makes up a great part of the spirit, also maybe for the entrepreneurship program, but let's see. So number two, I am best known for...
Oh, that's easy. Promoting entrepreneurship everywhere and every time.
Got it. Okay. That makes perfect sense. And finally, number three, the following quote would best describe me.
Get it done.
Get it done. Short and concise. All right. Got it. So let's turn to Miele for a while. Sure. I mean, as we all know, right, innovation is crucial for the future of organizations and so on. We all know that. And this is something that should be, you know, well known by everyone right now, right? But, you know, this. So now we got Miele. And I guess right now it's in the fourth generation of that family. So in other words, a company with a very long tradition and thus also a, let's say, particularly exciting case for the topic of intrapreneurship. So let's start with some of the fundamentals. Can you describe the intrapreneurship program at Miele and what the goals actually are?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, to put it in one sentence, intrapreneurship is the startup program of Miele. And our purpose is to build new business for Miele, either as a spin-off or as a new department. And we want to achieve this by increasing the entrepreneurial behavior and thinking of all our people and by empowering them to transform their own ideas into new business. And thus, entrepreneurship is not a department, not a program. It's more like an initiative or a movement that is a combination of an HR program, a cultural development program, and a business development program.
Okay, right. So now, obviously, Miele is a very successful company, right? And has been and surely is today still a very innovative company. So what made you actually launch the entrepreneurship program, and how does it fit to, you know, maybe the Miele overall strategy?
Counter question. When you think of Miele, what's the first thing you think about?
Yeah, right. So that basically I have lots of Miele things at home, for example, washing machines, dishwasher and stuff. And I think this is deeply rooted in the Miele brand and the perception of the public. Yeah.
Correct. Well, in the next 10 years, our new corporate strategy reaches for significant growth. Growth not only in this core business, but grows by expanding into four new business areas that complement these core businesses. And these areas are that we are taking on the challenge, how we can help people at home to eat healthier and more sustainable. Wow. B, to help people enjoy bottle-free beverages. C, help people to enjoy outdoor cooking. And entrepreneurship is one element to achieve this growth while ensuring that we have a certain Miele DNA in these growth areas. In addition to this growth part of the strategy, our strategy calls also for more pioneering spirit in general. And as we are coming out of a multi-year efficiency program, now all employees must, well, let's say first regain confidence that they can and should try out new things. And entrepreneurship makes or should make a valuable contribution to that by both motivating the people and providing a platform for trying things out.
Yeah, so it's actually, it sounds as if it is really all encompassing, right? The entire organization, basically. And I think we'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, you know, can you tell me a bit more about how and with whom you actually build the program? So you said you build it from scratch, right? So you started basically with a greenfield approach. So what were the steps? How did you build it? Did you have some partners involved? I'd be interested to hear something about that.
Let's take a short glimpse into my own journey. Well, I started with Miele in September 2020. And I started actually with a bullet point on a chart that says install entrepreneurship. That's all, not more and not less. I did it like the way I learned it. I started with a why. I ask a lot of people, why do we need entrepreneurship? I ask almost all of the first line in the management board and the line below. And I received answers ranging from, well, yeah, we need that because we need to grow. We need that because we need new ideas. We need that because we need to develop people, or we need a better employer branding. And I collected all this. And then I figured out, well, whatever concept you came up with, you can't make it right the first time to address all these needs and all these goals. And then I decided to establish or install entrepreneurship the lean startup way. So I put down a rough concept on a few slides, designed the process, aligned it with the board. And then I didn't develop a thought through process, gate plan, whatever. But instead, I found myself a pilot team that was willing to join me on this roller coaster, doing things the lean startup way in a traditional corporate. And we tried out how it works to to go along in this process, in this entrepreneurship rough concept I developed for Miele. And we learned a lot on our way. And after we figured out the Grinches in the organization, or the cracks, the natural cracks that that need to break, I redesigned the program. And then I started to recruit a team, because now I know which kind of people I need to do that within Miele. This program would have looked totally different for each and other company or situation I would have designed it for. So this was my biggest learning or biggest advice to everybody. When you do that, try to understand why you do it and how your organization, in German you say, ticks.
Yeah, yeah.
In order to collect the right people around you and to design a process and an organization that fits to your company. And regarding your partner question, well, when I started staffing my own team, I also started to staff external coaches for the teams, because I learned if I am too close to the teams, I can't take my role as a jury member. And therefore, I ask our partner, What Adventure, that's a company builder, to coach our teams in design thinking lean startup, to guide them through the process, so that at the gates, I can take the role of the jury. And I'm not so much involved into the team dynamics. So What Adventure is the partner, and we work closely together with the University of Paderborn, in particular, Professor Rüdiger Kerbst, because we wanted to know what effect does this entrepreneurship program has on our culture and on the people development. And therefore, we set up an efficiency measurement, how these learnings evolve over time. And that's for us, as the ones who design the program and develop it further, a valuable source of input for the next pivot. Let's say it so.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And I, 100% agree if you say, well, of course, there are some blueprints, right, for setting up such entrepreneurship programs. But obviously, just taking the blueprint, throw it at an organization and, hope that it sticks ultimately will lead you nowhere, right? So, I mean, I think it would be a good idea to talk about that in a bit more detail. But before we do that, actually, I want to play a quick game. The game is called Either Or, and it's a really simple game, right? But it's very interesting to hear some of your answers. And it's very simple. It just works like this. So I'll give you an option or two options, basically. Either one, option one or option two. You choose one of the options. And then, just briefly say something why you chose that answer. And the trick is to be fast, right? Not think too much, but actually be fast in answering that. So let's see what happens, okay? So the number one is, if you had to choose either early shift or late shifts?
Early shifts.
Why?
Because I have a chance to have not so much noise in my house. I have two small cats. Yeah. And whenever I can work before 7, I take that.
Very good answer. All right. So number two, and this is a tricky one, right? So would you either give up your PhD, your doctorate, or completely change the business area you're working in? For example, I don't know, becoming a pilot or something.
Why is it either or? I don't know. I don't know, actually. I think I would give up my PhD.
Okay, that's locked in. Give up PhD, become maybe a pilot or something. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And finally, the last one, number three. Maybe let's see. So would you rather live 4 weeks without a smartphone or 4 weeks without a notebook, a laptop?
Without a notebook. Because
that's an easy one,
almost everything about or with my smartphone.
Yeah, okay, that was an easy one. Okay, perfect. Well, thanks. Interesting answers, especially number two. And now let's get back to the entrepreneurship program at Miele. So as said before, right, there are some blueprints for setting up entrepreneurship programs. But of course, ultimately, the success is highly depending on how you actually execute, right? How you tailor it to the organization, to the culture, to the history, to the strategy, and so on. So, and I think it's really interesting because at Miele, you have really two worlds, not clashing, but meeting, right? So you have a traditional family business that meets design thinking, lean startup, and actually a desirable startup culture and a lot more. So, and I think a lot is actually, and you said it before, a lot is actually on the people. So, and you started with that rogue unit, if you will, the team, the pioneers actually, to build all this. But how do you find the right people to start building all this?
My experience in the last 2 years had shown me that that's no contradictory task, finding people that are entrepreneurs in a family-oriented business. In the contrary, because we are led by our founder families, and because long-term planning and entrepreneurial thinking is in our everyday business, the surprise or the acceptance of this topic, entrepreneurship, wasn't so big. And people felt, well, that's natural. Yeah, that belongs to us, of course. However, it is hard, too, to find the right people because, as I said, we are coming out of this efficiency program. And people need to learn to widen their thinking again, not to focus only on the tasks they need to perform on excellence, but to think outside the box and to come up with new ideas. However, my task or the task of my team, how we find people, is to ignite and to excite the people, to excite them for the problems in these new growth area, to motivate them to dig deep in their personal purpose, what they want to do. And this is how we attract people to the program. And this is how we find people that want to become entrepreneurs.
And did you, along the way, you know, building this also have to deal with, you know, the classic resistance to change? At some parts, or was that actually not too much a part of your discussions and your first steps, maybe with the, you know, the board, the management team, or maybe the levels below? How was your experience with that?
No, on the contrary. First, we had many people who were excited that we have such a chance installed at Miele. And many people joined us with their ideas they have in their shelves. However, my formula to success there was make it less new and make the barriers lower and the entry very easy. I would like to make that more clear how we did that. Well, in addition to this pure incubation process most of the companies have installed, we have installed a talent pass that is called Talent Pass Entrepreneur. Most of the companies I know have installed talent passes for upper management careers, for project management careers, or something like that. You're familiar with that. But so I thought, well, to make it less new, this whole entrepreneurship thing, why not talk to HR and install a talent path entrepreneur, because that's a structure people know and they trust in that. And so we have the topic entrepreneur on the same level of career opportunities than the traditional management career or an expert career. And so this is the make it less new thing. And the one element we added to this whole program and initiative is the community, the entrepreneurship community. It's an international community around the global Miele world, where everybody who says, well, I'm not the entrepreneur, I don't dare to do that step yet, perhaps. I can join and I can participate in this pioneering spirit by sharing my personal expertise in whatever I do, and helping the teams on an occasional basis. So if they have legal questions, engineering questions, name it, they can call an expert and have all the expertise Miele has on their fingertips. And through this community, where people can register whoever wants, we lower the barriers to get in touch with entrepreneurship for everybody, not only for the people that want to become entrepreneurs, but also for everybody in the company.
So that's actually, I think this is really brilliant, right? So you reduce the fear of something new by design, right? Because you say, okay, well, there's a community to lower the entry barriers. And then there is also obviously the HR talent path to becoming an entrepreneur, which neatly integrates this into, you know, HR operations and all the typical things you have at Miele. So that's actually two brilliant hacks, I'd say, to make this more convenient for everybody. So, and then what would you say, why do employees participate in that? So, you know, what gets them motivated? And maybe are there even additional incentives that actually motivate them even more?
Well, of course, this is one question we always ask when we talk to people who want to engage in this program. And of course, we ask that again when people leave the program. And the spread of motives is very wide. Some people say, well, I just want to learn what lean startup and design thinking is. Some people are motivated by expanding their Miele network, because this community has over 170 people by now, and people that don't meet each other in regular business. And that's one major motive. Others are really on fire for their idea, and they want to do that without any doubts. These are the entrepreneurs everybody would expect.
Right, yeah.
On the other hand, we have people that say, well, yeah, I work for Miele 15 years, 20 years, and I'm very specialized in my field, but I only manage. I want to do something again, get my hands dirty. That's the motive too.
Cool. All right. So yeah, a very broad variety of different motifs and also motivations actually to join the program. And do you have any additional marketing activities, like, you know, raising awareness inside Miele, having some, I don't know, events online, offline? So how do you make people aware of the actual entrepreneurship program, aside from the fact that it's maybe already an established career track in HR?
Yes, if there's one thing I've learned, then you can't communicate enough. Because, well, it's a global spread company. And we started, of course, with internal emails, with posts in the intranet, in some newsletter of the different locations, all that stuff. But we recognized after a year that we really don't actually reach the people in the subsidiaries. And therefore, we started to produce testimonials with former participants. We started to do little videos that explains the program. And we prep the communication people in the subsidiaries with those materials. And they spread it in their regions. So we have multipliers installed by now that do some of the communication for us. However, it's a hard job to make it present at any time. And this is the reason why we went external with communication just a few weeks ago. Because the the might of LinkedIn and social media when you share something there has an impact on internal acceptance and awareness of the program too.
Yeah, totally agreed. And actually, this is also how I, found basically the program, right, through your external communication. I was like, geez, I need to talk to them. Sounds brilliant. That's interesting. Okay, so now let's say I'm an employee at Miele, and I heard, of your program, maybe by internal or external communication, doesn't really matter. But now I know, hey, there is something. And this is really cool. What do I need to do to participate? So how could I get, in touch with you, and how could I start?
Well, that depends if you have an idea or not. Because if you don't have an idea and just want to take a glimpse of what it is all about, then you register as an entrepreneur talent. Everybody can do that. You write us an email and then you're in. Then you have access to motivation, leadership, business modeling, name it, classes, where you can find out what entrepreneurship is about. And you meet all the other people who have the same ambition. And we offer a lot of formats like ideation workshops, problem analysis, team building workshops, where you can meet each other and where you can find each other as a team and find an idea. And as soon as you have an idea and at least one teammate, you can apply for the incubation program, the so-called Miele Pioneers Camp. And this is very easy too. You just have to take a 1-minute video where you explain your business idea in, like, say, in a lean canvas way. And we will watch all that videos twice a year. And then we will select the teams that can participate in the next batch. And each batch starts with a 3-day boot camp. And there we test team and idea in a quick way and show everybody what it means to work the lean startup way. And after these 3 days, there's the first pitch of the teams, the first actual pitch. And when they pass that pitch, they are in the program. And then they will receive the whole program is 8 months. It's a part-time program. And the people receive increasing time off the farther they are in the program. And they will also get increasing budget the farther they are in the program. But at least they have 30,000 euros they can spend on their idea in order to convince a jury that this idea is valuable for Miele to create new business in.
And from the experience, how large are the teams typically? Do you also have, one-person teams, or is it, like large teams? What's the typical team sizes that you typically, expect?
Well, one of our preconditions is that you have to be at least 2 people, because that makes a team. 2 people is the minimum, and the maximum we had were 5 people.
Okay, 5 people. Okay, well, that's interesting. Now, here is a thought. So the ideas that actually might be highly interesting, highly relevant, and maybe also highly impactful for your entrepreneurship program are, I assume, precisely those ideas that are not found in the core business or in existing business areas today, right? So, how can you ensure that you do not eliminate good ideas too early because they actually do not fit Miele's strategy?
Well, that's a hard question, because as we have set up this new strategy going into 4 new business fields, not in the core doesn't mean this doesn't fit to our strategy. That's very special, because we have set the boundaries for the program that are already out of the core business. And no idea can apply to the thing that is too close to the core business. That's more my problem.
Okay, interesting.
But in addition to this, is it core? Is it non-core?
Yeah.
I have to say, sometimes I want things to be close to the core, or at least that people have an idea what the unfair advantage is. They want to play with this idea. Because why should a corporate invest in a startup when there is nothing they bring to the table that is close to the core business? For example, if the team says, well, I can use our sales processes or sales channels, or I can use production capacities, then it is somehow using the core, but that's not a bug, but a feature.
Okay, interesting. And can you talk about some of the assessment criteria, the rating criteria that you actually apply? So obviously, sure, fit to strategy is, you know, to a certain extent important, as you just said before, but what are some others? Having an unfair advantage, maybe, maybe exploiting some moats that Miele basically have. So what are some of the criteria that are very important for you that those ideas should actually meet?
The criteria change depending on the stage where you are in the process.
Yeah.
To get into the whole thing, it's most important that I see a motivated team that burns for their idea, and that this idea fits to our four new business areas. So that's all. Then you are in. By the way, or along the way, you have to prove that there is a customer problem, and you have to prove it not by asking only two people, but it needs to be fundamentally proved. And you have to prove that we are able to produce a solution to this customer problem. And then you have to say, well, there is a potential that's interesting for us as a corporate. And this is, there has to be a business about 50 million euros a year. Otherwise, this is too small, or we would invest in too many small things that wouldn't be efficient.
Yeah, which makes perfect sense. And by the way, how do you deal with the idea of disruption? Like, would you be okay with there is a maybe a new entre or intrapreneurial initiative that could actually cannibalize some existing business? Would that be okay to your program as well?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But better we disrupt ourselves than someone else does.
Yeah, 100%. That's why I'm asking. Yes. Okay. Yeah, interesting. And as you said before, you came from a cost-cutting background, right? From a cost-cutting phase. So, and I think, you know, probably the program is funded by cash flow, right, out of the business. So, of course, when the main business is doing well, that works, right? But what if not? So, is there, you know, when do you actually decide whether the projects are deemed to be successful and will be continued? You said before you had the metered funding approach, but it's at some point in time, there needs to be a go, no-go decision. Well, do we really invest in maybe, you know, start scaling this? So is there any you know, hard cut where you basically say go or no-go before you actually do larger investments into those initiatives?
Yeah, it depends what you consider large. Well, when we talk about hardware, it's very fast, very huge amount of money you have to invest to come up with a prototype. And therefore, well, I would say the first 5 months of this program, we go very easy on the teams and give them room to explore and to find out if there really is some gold nugget they have found. And then we look at the teams case by case and decide what do we believe is the nugget we are going for. Of course, as I said, we can't do 50 small things. We also have to place our bets. And this depends on, yeah, how much business is behind this idea, how good does it fit to our Miele values, and how into it is the team. So as every other investor, we buy the right team plus the idea.
Right. Well, that's really insightful. So, okay. We are kind of close already to the end of this episode, but maybe, you know, to wrap this all up, maybe you can quickly summarize for us, if you would have, you know, three recommendations, let's make it three, for building an entrepreneurship program, what would those three recommendations be?
Well, perhaps I repeat two I mentioned earlier. First is start with why, understand why you are doing this for your organization, and shape your program the way it fits to your organization and not to any blueprint recommendation. Second, communicate. You can't over-communicate to reach all the people you need. And third, it's about the people. In case of any doubt, I would buy a team, not an idea.
Yeah. Very good. And maybe looking forward, you know, a couple of months, so maybe 1 or 2 years, are there any plans to develop the Pioneers Camp even further? So is there something on the roadmap that you'd like to share for even expanding, enhancing the program?
Mm-hmm. Well, my vision for entrepreneurship is that in 10 years, this habits, this understanding of pioneering new things is somehow anchored in our culture, in our processes, in our leadership. Then that I don't have to excite and ignite so much anymore, but that it's a self-fulfilling or self-empowering network where all these things happen naturally. So I don't know how it will look like then and what is up or in front of me until then. But what I know is that I will learn year by year how I have to adapt the program, and I have to shape it that it fits to the current situation of our Miele employees.
Yeah, and I think this is an awesome vision to go after, right? So, okay, that's the future. Now let's look at the past. If you look at your time at Miele so far, what would you say, what was your greatest innovation rockstar moment so far?
Well, Miele is a premium brand, as you know.
Yeah.
And we are very proud of our brand. And when I started designing the Pioneers Camp, I was, well, I want to have a brand and the brand thing. And I want to have my own logo. And very many people said to me, this will never happen. Mm-hmm. Well, and then starting of the year, it happened. And that's what my rockstar moment when I said, well, yeah, you can do that. You can change things in a traditional organization. And if you have a movement supported by strategy, supported by people, supported by culture, and everybody is pulling on the same angle, it is very valid to communicate in an own way and to establish the Miele Pioneers Camp in its own logo.
Yeah, that's an outstanding rockstar moment. So do you have your own merchandising already?
Of course.
Of course. See, why am I even t-shirt? Asking? Oh, I do. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes, you do have your merchandising. Brilliant. All right. Well, that's what I call a rockstar moment. Thank you very much. And with that moment in mind, we wrap up this episode. Ina, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for sharing the experiences and the insights. This was very insightful. Thanks much.
Thank you very much, Chris, for having me. It was my pleasure.
All right. And to everybody listening or watching, if you like the show, then leave us a rating or a review and share the podcast with your colleagues. And if you want to get in touch, simply shoot us a message at info@innovationrockstars.show. Now that's it. Thanks for your time. See you in the next episode. Take care and bye-bye.
Innovation Rockstars.
This was Innovation Rockstar Dr. Ina Noetzig, providing insights into the entrepreneurship program at Miele. If you would like to give us feedback on this episode, or know someone, perhaps yourself, who also has some thrilling stories or insights to share from the world of corporate innovation, just shoot us a note at info@innovationrockstars.show. You like the show? Then leave us a rating and recommend it to others. For more inspiring innovation stories, visit our website at www.innovationrockstars.show or browse through our Innovation Rockstars channel on all major podcast platforms.